Well, last time I preached another message on Easter, and it was the beginning of a series of messages about the gospel. And I said that in the last one, the heart of the gospel. What is the heart of the gospel? What's the central message of the gospel? Is the cross and the resurrection. He is risen. Yeah, that's our response. He is risen. He is risen indeed. A great response that was used to be a greeting back in the old days in the early church. And so that's come back into style. I like that kind of thing. Some of these older things from the early church coming back into style. Well, today's message is going to be called The Sharing of the Gospel. And each of these messages is about something about the gospel from different aspects, different perspectives as we go through this series in the next during Eastertide until Pentecost. Well, the gospel. The gospel means good news. We all know that good news is what the gospel means. And it's only good news if it's announced. You know, the gospel is by nature a message. It's a message. And if it's not shared, if it's not really shared, then it's not really news. But it's news and it needs to be shared. And every day we're bombarded by different kinds of broadcasts, different kinds of messages in the news. And some of these things are impersonal. They're impersonal, like impersonal news. It may be interesting, but it really doesn't affect our lives. You know, there's a train wreck in Iceland. There's a train wreck in Iceland. Well, that doesn't affect our lives. It might be interesting to listen to, or there's a new species of iguana that's been discovered in the Pacific islands of da-da-da-da. And you'd say, well, yeah, that's interesting, but it doesn't affect my life. You know, that's just impersonal news. And then there's important news. Important news indirectly affects us, but we can't do anything about it. The day, everybody will remember where you were on the day of 9/11. You'll remember where you were when you heard about 9/11. You remember where you were when you heard about Kennedy being assassinated. All America's focus was on those events. It affected us all, but we couldn't do anything about it. There's nothing we could do about it at that point in time. Now, there's another kind of news. It's imperative news. Imperative news is news that directly affects us, and we need to do something about it. And I did not know that we would have a member of the tax board here, but I had an illustration. Next year, the IRS is changing the deadline for tax returns to April the 1st. Did you know that?
No.
April Fool's. April Fool's. No, but if we heard that, we would have to do something about it, wouldn't we? We'd have to do something. So the gospel is imperative news. When we hear it, we must do something about it. And if we've heard it, we must do something. And if we have it, we must do something. Ultimately, the gospel, and this is what we shared on the beginning idea. Ultimately, the gospel turns us into good news reporters. That's what the gospel is going to do to all of us, hopefully, is to turn us into good news reporters. The Apostle Paul was one of those good news reporters, and our text today, the one that was read, teaches us from his life and from his personality and also from his heart's intention about sharing the gospel. That the gospel, sharing the gospel, is part of a wholehearted response in service to God. In verse 9, he says, God, whom I serve with my whole heart in preaching the gospel of his Son. Now, Matthew 6, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The gospel is heart treasure. That's what the gospel is. It's heart treasure. But it must be unselfishly shared with others. Unselfishly shared. Now, when the gospel captures our heart, it affects things. It affects our interests, our focus. In verse 8, Paul says, your faith is being reported all over the world. Now, you remember that Paul, at one time in his life, was persecuting the church. His focus was on ending gospel faith. He wanted to destroy it. He wanted to wipe it out, gospel faith. Now, what is his interest? He's got ears open to hear about reports. I want to hear about the report of the spread of the gospel. Isn't that the big change? Some people, like I said in the last sermon, some people realize that if Paul did that, changed, there's something that made him do that, changed from a persecutor to a proclamator of the gospel. It was his encounter with Jesus Christ. That helps a lot of people. So where's our attention? Where's our focus? You know, if we want to be focused on the spread of the gospel, many times, well, you're not going to hear about it in the secular news. They're not going to say, there's been a great revival happening in Africa or in Mozambique, and we need to let you know that several healings took place and several people came to know God. Some gave up witchcraft. You're not going to read that in the secular news. You'll have to go to a missionary magazine that's publishing what's going on, or hear it from, like I did, from one of the people who went to Mozambique, one of the pastors, to try to help them. He realized that he had nothing to share. All those people were moving in the power of the Holy Spirit in such a way that they were ministering to his heart. And so he came home with a message. But, of course, they appreciated his ministry. Well, if we give our hearts wholeheartedly to the gospel, it will affect our prayer life. It will affect our prayer life, how we pray and what we pray for. First, we should be thanking God for the success that he's given us already, and or the progress that's going on. Here's what Paul says. First, I thank my God through the Lord Jesus Christ for all of you. And you know what? I'm really thankful for all of you, because God is continuing to keep this church alive. And I know there's things that we've done to try to help it stay alive. But you know what? Ultimately, we have to thank God for it. We have to thank God for it. And that's how we start. First, I thank God for all of you. And then, we should continue to ask for more blessings. You know, each one of you is a blessing. Each one of you coming here is a blessing. And you know what? We find out, I'm going to share it later, we find out more about those blessings when you share your life with us during the sharing time. How is God blessing you? What did God show you this week? Did God answer your prayer? Do you have a prayer need? You know, those kinds of things that we share, that's a blessing. So I'm going to talk a lot about that. But anyway, when we pray like this, we have to remember in verse 10, it says, constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times. Now, something is going to happen because Paul is constantly remembering them in his prayers, and he wants to go there. You see, if we pray like that, we may become the answer to that prayer. We may be the blessing. We may be the one that goes, oh, bless Raydell. We may be the one that goes and prays for Raydell. You know, that kind of thing. So that's the next step here. If we give our hearts wholeheartedly to the gospel, it affects our direction, our guidance in our lives. Getting up off of our knees onto our feet. Where are our feet going to go? And I pray that now at last, by God's will, the way may be open for me to come to you. You see, he was going to put his prayers from his knees onto his feet, and he was going to go and minister to them. Prayer can actually get us going places and seeing people. You know, I have places to go and people to see. After prayer sometimes. You know, prayer is like, it gives us, helps us to plan our day with a people-centered itinerary. A people-centered itinerary. The gospel turns believers into good news reporters. The first two letters in the English word gospel are G-O. Spelled go, right? Go. And when the gospel captures our hearts, we want to go report this good news to other people. And so Paul next shows us that sharing the gospel is part of the reason for the church. He says this in, well, he doesn't say it, but just Jesus said this. In Matthew 5, in the Sermon on the Mount again, Jesus was talking about what we call the church militant. You know, there's the church triumphant. Those are the people in heaven. I often talk about the people that have left here. They are now in the church triumphant. But right now, we're still in the church militant. We're still soldiers. We're still fighting the battle. And basically, Jesus talked about that in plural terms. He didn't just talk about individual soldiers. He always talked about us as a group. Here's what he says. It's about, the church means team effort. Team effort. And so we look in Matthew, and this is all in the plural. Plural for you. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people put a lamp under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light, and it's in the plural in the Greek, your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. He's talking about us, the church. And the church also means teamwork. Teamwork. John F. Kennedy made a famous statement. Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. And that's very famous. But we can also revise that a little and use it again. Ask not what the church can do for you, but what you can do for the church. We can say that. Because basically, that's in verse 11, it says, I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. The assembled church is a group of gifts. All of you are gifts. All of you are a spiritual gift, and you may have many skills and many spiritual gifts that are like teaching or sharing something, you know, picking roses and decorating them. There's all kinds of gifts that we have. But all of us together as an assembly are those gifts. And we can share spiritual blessings with one another. That's why I feel like, you know, that's what we should be thinking about as part of the reason we come to church. I want to be there so I can share this, so I can share that. That happened this week, or that I read in my devotions that really got me excited about what God's doing. So when you see those things during the week, make a note, because you might forget them on Sunday. I had forgotten about meeting Obed, that fellow, until you mentioned, was it you, Carol, that mentioned the young man? Yeah. Or who mentioned the young man? Who's working for, you mentioned Sally. There was a young man, and I said, oh yeah, I spent 3 hours with Obed the other day learning this story that was like, whoa. And I thought, yeah, those people need our prayers. But when we share about them, you know, it sort of blesses everybody. And also it makes us, well, you know, I should share too. You know, I should also share. So the sharing time is so, so important. It's part of the church. It's part of a teamwork effort, encouraging one another. Because that's what it says in this, impart some spiritual gift to make you strong. You know, spiritual gifts are not for show or status. Oh, he's got a great spiritual, he's a very charismatic person. Some people may look at me that way. I'm just a joker sometimes, you know. But anyway, no, I have to say, you know, sometimes I'm motivated by the Holy Spirit. I mean, and little sometimes it's caffeine. I don't know, whose caffeine is this?
It's just
hot water for me, all for my throat if I need it. Well, anyway, it doesn't have any caffeine in it. That won't help me. But what this does, it's not for status and it's not for showing off. It's to bless others and strengthen our grip on the gospel and the gospel's grip on us. You know? So that we can share it too. The church is a means of team support. Team support. We're all in this together. We are the church militant. We are the army of God. We're all soldiers. We all need to be fighting. And we all need to be winning the battle for Jesus. And we do that with this powerful message of the gospel. And it says in verse 12, I share these things that you may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. This sharing time that I'm talking about is so important to encourage one another. There was a time, this lady is in heaven now. She actually went to heaven the year after this. She stood up in this sharing time that we have, and for 5 minutes she told the story of sharing her faith. And let me tell you, after she sat down, it was a situation over in the skilled nursing, some of you might remember it. She shared her faith, about 5 minutes it took, and it was just moving. God had convicted her of something she had said, she apologized, and then she shared her faith. And it just, like, afterwards I thought, well, we can have the closing prayer now. That was like a sermon, better than my sermon, I think. 5 minutes from one of the people in the pew. And that's what I'm talking about. Sharing time is so important. Do not underestimate it, because that's what the church is all about. You know, Paul, he says he wanted a harvest of souls at Rome. That's what he said. I want a harvest. I'm looking forward to a harvest of souls in Rome. But he knew that evangelistic success cannot happen. It depends on the strength of the church, the health of the church. How spiritually healthy is the church? When Christians fail to really be a body and be a support group, then we usually also fail in sharing our faith. We also fail in that area as well. And that's one of the reasons that Jesus established the church. He knew that we needed each other. We needed to help each other. We needed to encourage one another. And that's, again, why I love the sharing time. When he gave us the Great Commission at the end of Matthew, when he gave us that Great Commission, he had raised from the dead, and he said, now go, my power is with you, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every person. He was giving that in the plural. He was not giving it to individuals. I want each one of you to do this. No, he gave it as a group. And you know what? That's why the church is so important. It's in the plural because it's a job of team effort, of team work, and of team support. And everybody should participate. So finally, sharing the gospel, the last point in this passage. It's part of the responsibility of gospel faith. It's part of the obligation. It's part of the responsibility. The gospel makes us rich. It's a treasure. It's a treasure in our heart, but it really makes us rich. It's not just our perception of it. It gives us something that's amazing. In verse 17, here's what it says. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed. A righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. This is priceless. This is a priceless gift. To have divine righteousness, not just our own righteousness. Oh, I did a good deed this week. No, we're talking about God's righteousness. He wants to bestow it on us by faith in the gospel. And we can actually give this to another person too. When Obed says that he got on his knees and he started confessing his sins and he said, all of the evil things that I have done. He was a Satanist and he did a lot of evil things. And he said, when God cleansed me of those things, I was so humbled. I was so humbled because I had no righteousness. God gave me His righteousness. That's what the gospel can do. This is powerful. It's a treasure, and it can't be earned. We cannot earn it. He had done nothing. He had done nothing except be angry at God, ready to commit suicide, and God saved him. But although it's freely given. Yes, it's a free gift from God by His grace. It has spiritual strings attached. Spiritual strings attached. Our responsibility in receiving God's grace is to share it. That's our obligation, and that's what Paul is talking about. And he says to share it with all kinds of people. Don't just limit the number of people you're going to share it with. Share it with all kinds of people. He says in verse 14, I'm obligated. I have a responsibility. I'm obligated both to Greeks and to non-Greeks, both to the wise and to the foolish. Oh boy, sometimes you talk with somebody that's really foolish. It's hard to talk with them because you can't make any sense with them sometimes. I think the gospel can cut through all of that and bring them to their right minds many times. You know, I am obligated. You know, gospel of God's grace meets the needs of every kind of person in every kind of culture or subculture. You know, it does. It does. That's why it's spread around the world as it has. And our responsibility in receiving this gospel of God's grace is to share it with enthusiasm. That word enthusiasm is very interesting because Paul used in verse 15, he said, that is why I am eager to preach the gospel also to you. Eagerness in the Greek is a word called prothumos. Enthusiasm. Prothumos, that it means eagerness, okay? So this idea of enthusiasm, this idea of eagerness, why should we be eager? Why should we be eager to broadcast the good news? Be good news reporters. Well, we've heard the best news in the world. There's no greater news than this. We've heard the best news in the world. Jesus came to pardon sins, to bestow His righteousness upon us, and to destroy death through resurrection. I mean, can it get any better than that? Is there any better news than that? I don't think so. But who's broadcasting it? The secular news is not broadcasting this. And yet, it's the best news in the world. It is the best news in the world. And it says, our responsibility in receiving God's grace is to share it without shame. Without shame. In verse 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. Everyone who believes. Now, we can be ashamed of our sins that Christ had to carry to the cross on Calvary. We can be ashamed of those, but not of the forgiveness that He purchased there on the cross. We can never be ashamed of that. He's forgiven us. Oh, that should tickle us to death. No, it should tickle us to life. Yeah. And we can be ashamed. We can be ashamed of a former unholy life. Things that we've done that we were ashamed of. We wish we hadn't have done those things. But we cannot be ashamed of the new life that Jesus has created in us through the Holy Spirit. We cannot be ashamed of that. And we can be ashamed of keeping this gospel to ourselves and not sharing it with other people. We can be ashamed of that. But we can never, or never should we be ashamed when we have told a world that is facing death and is caught up in sin and is in a chaos of sin. We can never be ashamed of telling them there's divine hope. You know why? Because He is risen. He is risen. That is why we should not be ashamed of this gospel, because He is risen. And He is risen indeed. And that indeed is what really changes people's lives. It brings them to life from death, spiritual death. He is risen. He is risen indeed. The gospel of Jesus Christ, this is a gospel of a victorious Christ, a victorious cross and a glorious resurrection. It's really good news, and it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. That's the power. I mean, we have it. We've heard it, and now we have it, and now we need to share it. And if we have not personally embraced that wonderful good news, if we've not done it personally, that's something we need to do without delay. Ask Jesus Christ into your heart. Let Him change your life. Let Him be the Lord, who He really is. Just let Him be the Lord of your life. That's what it is to receive the gospel. So open your heart and accept that good news. But that gracious gift of salvation comes with strings attached. Yeah, there's an obligation. If gospel faith is really already our heart treasure, if it's in our heart and we know about it and we've received it and God has changed us, then we should let our gratitude and our love for God turn us into what? Good news reporters, we have something wonderful to broadcast, the best news in the world. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this passage of Romans. When I first read it, I did not see all these things in it, but the more I read it, wow, Lord, there's so much in this passage about our lives as gospel reporters. Oh, yes, Lord. In our prayer life, in our sharing in the church to share with one another and build each other up in our faith, encourage one another. And then, Lord, in our connection with you, our connection with having had this change in our lives, being able to share it with other people. Lord, help us to be the good news reporters that you want us to be, because you announced the good news to us sometime, maybe when we were young, sometime when we were older. But you announced the good news to us. It has saved our lives for now and for eternity. We are so thankful. Bless us as a church to be that light, to be that gospel reporter here at Eschaton. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.